Okay, everyone. Welcome to my session on easy to build eye-catching dashboards in Excel services via SharePoint. Let's get going here. So our agenda for today will be just a brief intro on me, so you can see why I'm hopefully well positioned to give you this session. We'll be moving on to the goals of the session and, you know, the audience that I'm targeting this towards. We'll set the stage. So I want to talk about a little bit about BI, business intelligence, dashboards, and some of the problems that we face in this area. So that's what this session's all about, really. You know, there's typical challenges in certain areas around dashboarding, and hopefully Excel services is going to be a solution in certain cases. So that's where the SharePoint bit comes in. Excel Services is a service application within SharePoint, so some of you will know about service apps in SharePoint. If you don't, that's not a problem, because it's not targeted at those SharePoint builder people. It's business people mainly who I'm targeting at this particular session. So we'll do a demonstration. I'll show you a few dashboards, and then we'll to run through the very brief process of actually creating and publishing a dashboard if we have time, and I think we will. I've kept the content not at a minimum, but I think at a sort of medium level so that there's more time for Q&A. I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot of questions, so please feel free at the end. And I wanted to keep quite interactive, so if you have questions in the middle, please stop me, and I'll try and answer it if I can. If it's going to be a longer one, we can always take it offline later. So I'll then move on to some guidelines. So just some ideas on how you probably should be deploying dashboards, and just little things you can do to make things visually appealing and just look and work better. And I'll give you some links and further information at the end. And of course, Q&A. Okay, so a little bit about me. My Twitter tag is up there. If anybody wants to tweet during the session or after the session, please go ahead. So I live in Perth. I've been there for about 7 years now, originally from Zimbabwe, but loving it in Australia and probably going to be here for a while. So I work for a company called CSG. I won't talk too much about that. You can look us up if you want to. So my role is a national Microsoft BI team lead there, so I handle pretty much all our BI operations at the moment. Mainly based out of Perth, but you know, we're always expanding. And I manage a team of 8 Microsoft BI consultants, which is great. So a lot of IP around the whole area, SQL Server, SharePoint, how they work together, and how they really need to be leveraged together to get the full spectrum of capabilities for Microsoft BI. So I've been heavily involved in Microsoft BI implementation and training for over 6 years now. So started off working for the government some time back and then moved into pure consulting. So it's been good. It's been a good journey. The tools are getting better and better, and you know, Excel Service is an example of that. And I'm also the Microsoft VTSP for Business Intelligence in WA. Maybe that should have been a small V. So it's a virtual technology solutions professional, which is pretty cool. So before we get into some of the content, I just wanted to get some feedback from you guys. Put your hands up if you fall into this category. So typical business users, information workers, end users. Anybody like that here? No? None? No problem. Power users? So you're doing more than just I use spreadsheets. You know, you might be doing a bit of macros, a bit of VBA, that kind of stuff. Yep, one. Okay. So this is probably going to be quite a good session for you then. I've aimed it at the top two, but as I'm going to say next, well, soon, you'll see what's coming up. So there's also the IT pros, so I'm guessing that's where you guys are sitting then, right? So infrastructure support, developer, that kind of thing. Okay. So my target was primarily the first two because it was about showing business people how there is a set of technologies that can actually make things easier for them. And when we talk about some of the challenges that we face, you'll see why. But there is something for everyone here. Yeah, you'll see what the technology can do. And at the end of the day, if your business people came up to you, you'd need to set it up and install and configure and all that kind of stuff. So it is probably useful. So what are some of the goals of this session? So as I've said, we'll identify some common problems around dashboard development and deployment. We will look at a SharePoint and Office-based solution to address these problems. We'll look at the high-level technologies and license requirements around this particular solution. And obviously, you will see the final product in action. So we'll see some live demos. Hopefully, they'll be representative of what is capable. Sorry, what we can actually do. And just a few tips and techniques and some limitations. You know, all technologies have certain limitations. So it would be nice to know what you can and can't do. And we want to set a stage for the future. So, you know, in my opinion, Excel Services is a great solution, but it'll only get you so much of the way. And then you're really going to want to start relying on the rest of the SQL Server and SharePoint stack to get proper enterprise-level business intelligence out there. So let's set the stage. So we're talking about BI, dashboards, and problems. What is business intelligence? Who here is formally using some form of business intelligence in their organizations right now? Okay, I'm hoping it's all Microsoft. It's not always. We do implement a lot of solutions for clients that are already entrenched with other vendors' products, and we have found that a very strong selling point is that it's a very robust, scalable platform. So we've done Microsoft plus Cognos implementations, Microsoft plus SAP, where we've done the entire data layer right up to cubes in Microsoft, and then they'll stick another reporting product on top. So business intelligence-wise, who's using full-on business intelligence right now? So SharePoint, Performance Point, you already guys would be. anybody else? Reporting services, I'm guessing, would be more common. Standalone or within SharePoint? Standalone, put your hands up. Yep, and SharePoint? A few less, okay, cool. So business intelligence, you'll hear things like data warehousing, reporting, analytics, slice and dice, OLAP. These are some of the words you might hear. Yes, this is all true, but we can boil it down to just a couple of words, actionable insights. So business intelligence is about giving decision makers timely, accurate information to empower the decision making. So you're trying to take the gut feel out of running your business. And it can be any sort of data, financial, strategic, KPIs, or how many servers are down today, that kind of stuff. So what is a dashboard then? Well, a dashboard really is a culmination of a BI project. Not always, but it's really a high-value, condensed form of conveying a bunch of information, and it usually covers a lot of different areas. So you might have an operational dashboard, which is looking at, you know, statistics across different sites or different areas, that kind of thing. Or you can even get like a management style dashboard, which is showing some customer sentiment, you know, some HR stuff, some financial stuff, and so on. So it's really a launch pad to get you showing you some metrics and allowing you to drill down to get more detail if you want to. So that's really what a dashboard should be doing. So what are the challenges we might face? You know, dashboards are all great, but anybody who's embarked on a BI project might have some stories, which are not fun stories to share with people. So some of these issues are specialist skill sets. Business intelligence is not necessarily easy. If consultants or internal staff have done their job right, getting the data out of the system should be easy. But getting there in the first place generally requires specialist skills, SharePoint, SQL Server, data warehousing, ETL, so extracting data, dimensional modeling, data cleansing, data quality analysis, a lot of stuff can go into it. So that's generally not something that is easy to do. And because of this, it means it can be costly, and costly from a tools point of view and also a skills point of view. You know, good consultants are probably expensive, and tools can be expensive too. And this is one of Microsoft's biggest selling points with BI. It's the lowest total cost of ownership solution out there, and I make the point just now. Compared to your other mega vendors like your SAPs and IBMs and Oracles and so on, their BI solution is getting better and better all the time. It's highly scalable and much, much cheaper. And also skills-wise, it's easy to find Microsoft people around, so that's always good. So time to deploy is another problem. Because business intelligence, depending on how much you bite off, still requires a few steps to get to that end game, and usually with very little output in the early phases, although I do a lot of prototyping with PowerPivot these days, which is helping to solve that problem, Unfortunately, there were too many Microsoft speakers this year, and my session for prototyping was on the wait list. So maybe next year. So yeah, time to deploy. You know, people want results. A dashboard is something which is usually aimed at management people or decision makers, and they don't want to wait 6 months to get a dashboard. You know, they want data right there and then. So let's look at the SharePoint solution. Technology-wise, it's quite straightforward. Firstly, it's SharePoint 2010, of course, and it's the Excel services service within SharePoint. And I've put enterprise there because you need an enterprise license to use Excel services. So just bear that in mind. Sorry? Well, ECALS, yeah. You need an enterprise license key to enable the enterprise features in SharePoint, and then you need enterprise CALS for the client access as well. And then the other half of the equation is Excel 2010. So I'm specifically looking at some of the newer features like sparklines, slices, conditional formatting, which give you pretty rich visualization capabilities. And the whole aim here is this is stuff that you don't really need to teach people. You know, if you can use Excel, you can probably pick this up very quickly, or you're probably already using it. So that's quite cool. So why is this a great solution? You might not agree, but in my opinion, this is a great solution in certain instances. Because, as I've said with the Excel, you're using existing skills and potentially existing software. You know, hopefully you're already using SharePoint and hopefully you're already using Excel. So, you know, use them together and use what you already know and what you already have. Now, you might say, well, we're still on Excel 2007, we're still on Excel 2003, God forbid. We work with a lot of government clients, so we're still on 2003. That's fine. You don't need to buy Excel for everybody. That's the key takeaway here, or one of the big takeaways. You can buy one or two Excel licenses for your power user / dashboard developer people and deploy it to SharePoint, and then people can view stuff in SharePoint without needing Excel anymore. So that's a cool thing. So it's all about empowering the end user. You don't want this reliance on IT / consultants and so on to be able to churn out dashboards. You want a good data model, and you want to get the business users to be able to create their own dashboards and deploy them. Now, of course, you should have some governance process around this. You don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry deploying dashboards everywhere all the time. And this is more of a SharePoint issue and a business process type issue rather than a technological problem. So as I've said, we want to minimize IT involvement. I'm sure most IT support infrastructure and so on in organizations don't really want to be building reports and dashboards for people. They want to keep the systems running as best as possible. So we're trying to reduce the reliance on them and empower those end users. But another point here is we don't lose control. You know, you're giving business users the power to do stuff, but you can still use SharePoint as a central storage mechanism. In fact, you should be doing that, and that's what Excel Services is. So before we go further and I start showing you more stuff, I think I have one more point here. Yep, and as I've said, lower total cost of ownership. So let's talk about Excel Services. Who knows what it is and who's using it right now? Okay, a few people. Is anybody thinking about it and that's why you're here? A few of you, okay. And some of you had a bit of a break in between sessions. Cool. No problem. So yeah, that's the point. Excel Services, for those who might not be familiar, is a SharePoint-based service which allows you to host spreadsheets in Excel, just like a normal document library, but also view them in SharePoint. So you're hosting your workbooks in SharePoint. It just goes into a standard document library. But if you've got Excel calculation services configured and running, you can view those documents inside SharePoint. So this is where you don't need to buy SharePoint for everyone comes in. Sorry, Excel for everyone comes in. So give a couple of people licenses, they deploy, everybody else doesn't need Excel anymore, and you can still see that content. There are some limitations, we'll talk about it later. It's not a perfect solution, but you can get quite far. Okay, so let's look at some demos. So what I'll be showing you today is some stuff that I use myself every day. So I've got a team management set of dashboards, which I use to run the team, to check revenue, how people are doing, what they've been spending their time on, and so on. I put Power Pivot there because I'm using Power Pivot as a data source there. I didn't want to talk too much about Power Pivot because there wasn't enough time in this session. But I highly recommend you start looking at Power Pivot in your organization. Big game changer. Then I'm looking at training evaluation. So I deliver training, and our organization delivers training in various areas. So we're looking at a dashboard to slice and dice some training information. So that's feedback forms that we get from evaluations. Then I've got a sales type example using an embedded data. So we've deployed an Excel services document which has data in other sheets there, which are being used in charts and so on. And then I'm doing some Twitter analysis. So anybody who was at the Office plus SQL session earlier would have seen that. They've stolen one of my demos. But if you haven't, that's cool. And then we'll look at how to create and publish one of these dashboards. And it should be a two-minute process if everything goes well. Okay, so let's get out of there and take a look. Let's just wait for this to come back alive. Okay, so I've got a very basic non-skinned SharePoint site here. I'm in a document library, which I've called Dashboards. Take a 2011 folder in there, and if you've used SharePoint already and you've used document libraries, you'd be familiar with this sort of interface. So I've got four Excel workbooks that I've published. So my first sample is my timesheet sample using a Power Pivot data source. So we'll just fire that up. Okay, so I've left the error up there on purpose because I wanted to talk about that later. It's not an error as such, it's just telling me that something in here is not quite going to work the way you expect. It's just a display issue in this case. Okay, so what I've got here is just some fudged up numbers. So these are actual projects we're working on, but I fudged all the numbers, obviously. So I've got financial years, we've got teams in the organization, and we've got resources. So what we see on the left here, an example of something called slices. It's a feature in Excel 2010, which is a very cool filtering mechanism, which gives you more than just filtering capability. So what I'm able to do, for example, is say, okay, let's pick a different team. I want to pick our business objects team who do SAP work. And that will take a second to refresh. So what's happened is, obviously, the filter's now changed to show me that I've selected something else. But on the bottom left here, it's automatically filtered the set of resources to show me which people are in that team. So the filters are connected to each other, and they indicate where there is data and where there isn't data. So if I scroll down here, I think I've got data everywhere here. What I should be seeing for some of these, there we go, oops. So those are my unselected ones. And what it's telling me there is you haven't picked any resources, but by choosing a different filter on the team, those particular resources, they don't have any relevant data in them, in that team. So slices are very cool. They show you how data is related within filters. And up here, I've just made up some visualizations. So over here, I've used the data bars feature in Excel 2010, which was also there in 07, but it's been improved quite a lot. So I've pretty much said, look, if you're at, just pretty much give me a bar which ends at 100%. If a project's reached 100% of the spend, stop the bar there. And I've just got a status indicator to show me which projects may be over budget for whatever reason. Over here, what I've done is I've put a conditional format on this column to say, if these values are in, I think, the 10th percentile or something of the whole bunch. So if they're abnormally high compared to the rest of the numbers in the column, can you just highlight them? That kind of thing. So again, just a very quick sample. I'll do another one. So I've clicked on my second tab at the bottom. And this one is just showing me my dollars charged per resource. Again, I fudged up all the numbers. $8,000 a month is not a lot. But here we go. So again, here I'm using Sparklines. And Sparklines are quite cool. They give you a one-cell view of a trend. And you don't have to use just lines. You can do little bar charts and stuff. So this is showing me the yearly trend for each of these resources there. And you can highlight the highs and lows as well, as I've done. So quite cool. I'm also using conditional formatting inside the pivot table itself to highlight better months and not so good months. So the reddish ones are not so great for whatever reason. So you can see the zeros are red there and the better months are green. So, you know, an easy way of picking up information which you could have got elsewhere, or could have got by reading the whole table, just by adding a few colors on there. So you can just up. Those are the good spots. So I already know whatever we did there, it was really good because it's gone green. Okay, let's look at another one. Here I've got a breakdown of hours. So again, I can use any filter I want to. So this is my particular team at the moment, and that's where everyone's been spending their time. Again, I could just pick, okay, who's working on weekends? And those three guys have done a fair bit of work on the weekend, for example. And this doesn't have to be a single filter. Slices can multi-select. So I could go, let's click and drag and pick 2 years. And that should filter 2 years worth of data. Has it? Okay, so let's go to my next example. We don't want to run out of time. So this one is my course evaluations demonstration. I'll talk about this particular issue just now. So again, just using standard Excel again, but doesn't look much like Excel, and I'll show you how to make that happen. And again, just using a stacked bar chart and some other stuff here. Don't want to focus on it too much. I do want to say that it is interactable besides the filters. So I can do things like, oh, okay, well, let's drill down on question one there to see broken down by instructor. And I've just fudged the names there as well. So you can see instructor BTH, for example, had, four excellence, that type of thing. So it is interactive. It's not just a static dashboard that's been deployed. And this is just another one, a trend analysis. So again, I could say, well, let's look at things that the instructors couldn't influence. And then let's say, all right, I'll choose something else. I'll pick yes there. And how about I go to question one, which is, question four, instructors' presentation skills. And I might pick a particular instructor. And that's how easy it is. So essentially, if you have the data to support these slicing and dicing operations, you can put it together pretty quickly in Excel. Okay, let's go to another example, which shows you just a bit more about the type of formatting and stuff you can do. This is just a pure Microsoft sample. I haven't built this one. When you set up Business Intelligence, you'll get this sample that gets installed in your SharePoint site by default. But it is quite useful because, again, it shows us that we can use these slices. So I've selected a couple there, and the data has now been updated immediately. But it also shows me that I can change the colors in the formatting. So this one has a very orange theme. You can see that it's all orange there. So let's go down. So again here, just more examples of using the same techniques I've showed you already. Data bars, conditional formatting, and spark lines again. So I think it's pretty clean, pretty eye-catching. And the main thing is it's low barrier to entry. When I show you how quickly we can build this, you'll see what I mean. Okay, so one more. Oh, actually, something else I wanted to show you here. Let's go to this third sheet here. So again, just using conditional formatting here, we've drilled down to the data that's driving that front page there, the dashboard you saw. And you can easily see, well, let's actually see which our best products are in terms of profit margin. So we might do that. And you can see how that's working now. So it is interactive. You can use filters. I'll just drop down again and show you some of the other things. So you can do stuff like numbers between A and B or above average, or you can even customize some of these filters. So I'm not going to go into those because it's not quite the subject of the presentation. And finally, here's an example of if you spent a little bit more time, something that you could do. So this here is a sample that Microsoft published recently. I had to squeeze it a bit to get it to fit on this resolution. So a few days ago when I updated this, I did a query for TechEd, and it's showing me how the tweets are trending. It's showing me the time of day. I forget the name. That chart there is just showing me when people are tweeting. You know, is it skewing more towards evening or afternoon and so on. Again, this is all standard Excel. So, you know, looks pretty cool, but very, very visually appealing. Donut charts just showing me the split of positive, negative, and so on. And, of course, I could filter and so on. So I could say, well, let's look at Alan Churchill's numbers, and there we go. And this one's pretty good. If you're interested in analyzing Twitter, check this out. It's giving us a breakdown by people and top mentioners, for example. And you can then, you know, filter by any of the hashtags and mentions and so on. So quite a cool tool. It's actually got a bit for tone as well. So hidden in the back of the sheet, there's a bit of tone analysis which says certain words score high as, you know, good tone. Certain words like uncool, unhappy, and so on score negatively. So based on that, you can get some sentiment, like, you know, are people generally positive about us or not based on that. So anyway, the whole point here is you can make stuff look quite cool just using the native Excel features. So I want to just quickly show you how you could deploy something like this. So I'll get into Excel, and I'm just going to start a new blank workbook. I'm going to fetch stuff from a cube because it's a very easy data source to work with. Yep. Okay, so I'm just going to pick a particular measure group here. Let's say I want the internet sales amount and I want the internet tax amount. And I'd like to break this down by customer geography. And I want to add a filter in here. So maybe you want to add a filter for the calendar years. Maybe there. Okay. And pick a particular year. All right. Now, let's say I want to add some conditional formatting, so I'll just go in there and say, all right, let's do data bars here. I'll just, I'll change that. Clear the rule. Okay, so I'm going to pick all values just for the country level and just say, yeah, use the two-color scale, keep it nice and simple. So if I drill down now, I shouldn't get any formatting in there. Yep. And I'll shut that down now, and let me add a slicer in. So insert a slicer. And let's say we want the slicer to be on, I don't know, let's make it demographics. So on gender. Okay, so I've got a slicer now, and it should be connected. So if I click male or female, you can see the data's being updated. I might just stretch that a bit and chuck my slicer there. Might choose a different theme for it. Maybe choose that one there. So to save this to SharePoint is as easy as save to SharePoint, pick a library, off we go. I have some publishing options here around what I want to publish, so I don't have to publish everything. I'll just pick the defaults, off we go. Okay, so that should be deployed to SharePoint now. So I'll come back to my library, and there's my book 2. And there it is. So that's how easy it can be for end users, just using pure Excel functionality to get dashboards up there. There are some assumptions here. Your data must be in a nice form to be able to do this kind of stuff. And let's talk about that now. So we have a couple more minutes. Let's get back here. Okay, so there's some things to be aware of. Review your data availability, structure, and quality before you build this stuff. This is a common problem in businesses. The minute you start reporting and the minute important decisions start being made on what you're presenting, you better be sure that the data quality is up to scratch because, yeah, things can go south. I highly recommend PowerPivot here. It's a brilliant data analysis and exploration tool, and I'm using it on every project now for prototyping and requirements refining. It's brilliant. If you're not sure what it is, come talk to me afterwards. I'll be happy to give you a bit of an explanation. Okay, some Excel client features are unsupported or don't work. So things like comments, I think I've got a few examples here. Yep, things like VBA comments, external references will not work in Excel services. The good thing is they've improved 2010 to actually not break if you deploy with these features. So most features will just say, look, I'm not going to show you this stuff. In 07, it would just not work. So that's cool. So be aware of that. There is a reference. If you just Bing it or Google it, you'll find unsupported features. There's a long list. You might need to adjust SharePoint maximum file sizes if you've got embedded data or for PowerPivot workbooks. You know, the default size is 8 megs or 10 megs or something. You might need to increase that before you can deploy. But some tips. I turn off Excel headers in the grid. So what I didn't do on my... where am I? Have I shut down Excel? Wrong place. What I didn't do over here was go into the view here, and I only discovered this about a year ago anyway. You can take off the headings, take off your grid lines, and then publish it. So when it gets onto Excel services, you don't see those columns and rows and so on. So that's a good plan. I'd also suggest you use custom slicer styles. So you might not like the default ones. You can set up custom styles so the selected item is red, and a selected item with no data might be light red. You can customize all that and save it. I'm not aware of a common library of slices that you can share amongst multiple workbooks, so that's a bit of a limitation. So the cell selection. So when you click on a cell in Excel, you get a box around it. If you click cell A2 and publish your dashboard, you will see a selection around cell A2. So what I find is handy is if you hide the selection behind a chart or a slicer and then publish it, the users won't see that. So maybe that's a good plan. Pivots can be customized a fair bit. So I don't know if you're using it, but it's a good idea to right-click on a pivot table, go to pivot table options, and you can turn off summaries, you can turn on column totals, can turn off column totals, you can turn off summaries at certain levels, you can change the style of the pivots. So one of the ones I showed you earlier was using a classic pivot table style. So the newer pivot table style will nest items within each other when you're doing drill downs. Sometimes you want to put them next to each other. So that's a classic style. So check out those options. As I said, those can be turned on and off. Use the save to SharePoint option. So what I just showed you, you can just use save as and directly save it into a library. Or you could just do an upload from SharePoint itself. But if you don't use the proper publish option, you won't get the ability to turn off or publish certain pieces of content only. So in my case, the timesheets example I showed you has actually 5 or 6 other sheets sitting behind there that I didn't want to publish. I've just unticked them when I published them and said I don't want these to be visible. They're still there. They're still part of the workbook. It's just that people won't see them. Okay. So there you go. You can pick and choose what to publish. So you can publish things like certain sheets, certain charts, or even named ranges. Okay, so where to next? You could use the Excel Services web part to integrate with other parts. So I've showed you just, hey, publish the whole dashboard. You could actually use the Excel Services web part and build a SharePoint page and connect it to other filters and things like that. And you know, you could make it part of a customized page to go to have a document library showing up and maybe contact list, any web parts essentially. You can connect them to other SharePoint filters, but you have to share the same data source. And I am near the end, so if you want to hang around for another 30 seconds, I'll be done. You will hit limitations with Excel services. You know, when you get serious about dashboarding, you won't be able to manage KPIs in a central way. You won't be able to do advanced scoring. Things like drill through aren't supported. So if you use analysis services cube, for example, you can right-click a cell and say, can you show me the detail? What made up this particular cell? Show me all the rows that contributed to that cell. So you're limited in certain ways. So this is where I'm seriously going to suggest considering the formal BI platform. So use analysis services and SharePoint performance point services, which is the formal dashboarding engine, which is where you start requiring the specialist skills and so on. But yeah, this is a good entry point to whet the appetites and, you know, to meet needs quickly. And Excel services is still complementary to the above. So if you start using analysis services and performance point, we still use Excel services as part of these deployments. So it's not like you need to throw away what you've already got if you do move up to the full platform. You can still use a lot of the IP. Okay, so that's about it. I have some links. That's my info if you want to follow me or check out my blog at some point, which does need an update. Those two resources there are very brilliant. Chandu.org is a guy who specializes in Excel dashboard development. They do go to a lot more detail than I have. They use VBA and custom code and stuff like that to get really, really fancy stuff done. And this site here, Perceptual Edge, Stephen Few is one of the world's leading authorities on visualization, perception, and dashboard design. So a lot of his principles can be mimicked in Excel. So things like don't use gauges, use bullet charts, don't use pie charts, they don't convey information accurately, and so on. A lot of these ideas you might not agree with, but a lot of points you can get from there, which would be very good. Okay, so obviously at the wrap-up, I'd like to thank Microsoft. I'm sure we're all having a good time at TechEd. AvePoint for having the theater and allowing us to present. All the other sponsors and you guys for coming over. So thank you for that. That's pretty much it.